Hey, Barb.
Yes, John.
Did you hear about the new study out of the University of Pixley? Petticoat Junction fans? University of Pixley regarding life in marriage. They found that the vast majority of the women who put on a little bit of weight after they were married outlived their husbands who pointed it out to them. That was backed up by the University of Bug Tussle study. I would say Hooterville, but somebody be offended. The word "ville" somehow. Yeah. Let's pray. Father, we come before you. We thank you for this time. We thank you for the message. We put them both into your hands. We ask you to bless it. Do your will with it, Father. Whatever is from you, let it find a home in our hearts and change us. Whatever is not from you, just let it go its own way. In Jesus' name, amen. The biggest day on the Christian calendar is the one that we circled for celebration, not God. The New Testament doesn't mandate any holiday, celebration, or festival, well, other than the Sabbath, and it gives us control over how and where and when. You see, there is no sacred day, no holy day, no holiday that we must celebrate in a specific way or on a specific date. We get to choose what we celebrate. All we need is a reason we can agree on. And here's one of them. Because there are a million different ways for each of us here to go to our graves. But there is only one way for any of us here to rise from our graves. And that is what we celebrate here today. 1 Corinthians 15:20-22 says, "But now Christ has been risen from the dead, the first fruit of those who are asleep. For since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died, so also in Christ all will be made alive." This is what we choose to celebrate here this morning. But there's little that tells us how we should celebrate it. However, Paul did write some general instructions regarding holidays to the Colossian church. Colossians 2:16-17. "Therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink, or in respect to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath day, things which were a mere shadow of what is to come. But the substance belongs to Christ." Well, this generally refers to the celebration of the legal holidays from the Old Testament. The principle applies across the board, up till today. It doesn't say that we should not or cannot have religious or spiritual holidays. This tells us that if we do, we need to do two things. First, don't judge what holidays other Christians celebrate or how they celebrate them. No one to act as your judge strongly implies that you should not act as anyone else's judge either. Second, when you celebrate for spiritual reasons, do it for the right reason. Celebrate for substance, not the shadow of the substance. Don't major in a minor. Don't allow this world to distract or usurp your celebration. Don't celebrate out of obligation to God's law. Celebrate what the law brought to us, Jesus Christ and God's grace. If I had only known these two verses in my childhood, I could have had a scriptural retort when my parents demanded that I get up and get ready for church on Easter morning. I could have said, "Mother, Father, Scripture does not permit you to act as my judge regarding this holiday. I feel led to celebrate the substance of Easter here at home, in my bed, or possibly in front of the TV." You see, we went to church every Sunday morning. But Easter was a particular challenge for me because by 10 a.m., I had already developed a deep emotional bond to the cornucopia of candy that was nestled in a straw basket that had my name written on it. Jeff's Candy. It said so right on the basket. There are a few things in life that are more beautiful than this. Three things I could think of: my bride as she walked down the aisle, my children when they were born, well, one of them. The other was kind of average. And I'm not saying who, because it would offend him. And that basket of candy. And not necessarily in that order either. Now, my mother, some of you knew her, would have appreciated the fact that I knew this scripture and attempted to apply it to my situation. She would have used the same scripture to argue that I was celebrating the shadow, not the substance of the holiday, the candy, not the Christ. My father, on the other hand, would have used a slightly less subtle manner of encouragement. He would have said something both emotionally compelling and intellectually profound. Something like, "You, go sit in that car right now, or you won't be able to sit anywhere for the rest of the day." Now, who could argue with that? Might doesn't make right, but it does make policy. And it did so in our house. Now, you probably can't tell by looking at me, but over the years, my appreciation for the shadow of Easter has held steady. I have doggedly, if not heroically, maintained a strong relationship with chocolate. If you were to ask me who my favorite character from Easter Story was, other than Jesus, my mind would go to Sarah of Canonsburg. But over those same years, my appreciation for the substance of Easter has grown even more dramatically. Over time, the substance of Easter has grown to profound depths for me. The more the shadows of Easter faded, the more captivating the substance became. However, I cannot say the same for most other holidays and celebrations. It just hasn't worked out that way in my life. Things that you used to get excited about, I barely even notice they're happening. Most other holidays eventually end in disappointment, while Easter is the holiday that ends disappointment. All holidays and celebrations end with this inescapable conclusion, and then you die. Because of Easter, that same phrase is a declaration of a beginning, not an ending. King Solomon lamented that life is vanity because we die. Easter proclaims that life is meaningful because when Christ arose, he brought us out of the grave with him. He joined himself with our death so that we could be joined with him in his resurrection. This becomes more meaningful with every tick of the clock. The older you get, the more that means to you. Now, here are a couple of holidays and celebrations that become more shadow than substance as time passes. Valentine's Day and anniversaries. Let me bury myself. The three rings, engagement ring, wedding ring, and suffer ring. What begins in the comforting glow of infatuation and the warm embrace of human fellowship can fade over time into the fog of the war that rages between two people who both believe they are God. God put us right where he wants us. What was once endearing about someone over time can become annoying. Cute little quirks can become giant annoyances over time. Sure, I'll tell you. But even if the trials of marital conflict are limited, the one you've built your life around is either going to leave you or you are going to leave them, one way or another. Over time, the proclamation, "To death do us part," can go from a somber reminder to appreciate what you have while you have it, to an encouraging and pleasant realization that this trial will eventually end one day. There's an old blues song that says, "No matter how bad things get, my life will be better when you're not in it." Easter has the power to alter our reality by infusing the hope of what we can be and what we will be into our lives and into our relationships. What is yet to come in Christ has the ability to give purpose to what is hopeless. Easter gives us a future with each other. It has the power to heal us individually. And it also heals us collectively. Christmas. Great expectations followed by subdued reality. Because everything declines. Everything. The new car smell of everything eventually wears off. What we once treasured gets thrown away. Without Easter, even the substance of Christmas has no value. Without Easter, Christmas would only be a commercialized frenzy of consumption, a distraction to dull the pain of this life. Now, on the Charlie Brown Christmas special, Charlie Brown asks if anyone knows what Christmas is all about, and Linus steps up and answers. All Linus had to say was this: Christmas is about Easter, Charlie Brown. It's all you need to know. And the question would have been completely answered. Without Easter, Christmas would not exist. Birthdays. What was once a day that you could not wait for to arrive, over time becomes something you'd like to avoid. At some point, birthdays stop marking advancement and begin to mark decline. When I get there, I'll let you know. Birthdays are basically a celebration for not having died yet, rewarded by cakes, gifts, and a song sung to you by people who often can't sing. I reference no one in particular. However, because of Easter, we can celebrate the substance of being 1 year closer to glory. Instead of celebrating heaven, dodge the inevitable bullet for another 365 days, making one more trip around the sun. Without Easter, these other holidays and celebrations are mere vanity and pleasant distraction for the masses. With Easter, these same days become part of the substance of our past, present, and our future. Then I considered Memorial Day. I was working through all of them in my mind. I couldn't find any way to work Groundhog Day in here, but next year maybe I can. As my time passed, the substance of this day, like Easter, grew stronger. My appreciation for Memorial Day grows stronger every year. While the picnics, beaches, mattress sales, and double time pay begin to fade into the shadows that time cast upon such things, why does this holiday grow more meaningful to me as I age? Why is Memorial Day so much like Easter for me? Well, both days are when we acknowledge what another did for all of us. When the cookouts fade, when we return from the beaches, when the furniture sales end, our young men and women will still be dead. The annual cost of freedom in a world plagued by sin. Easter gives us the assurance that their sacrifice has a meaning that goes beyond the grave. On Memorial Day, we honor all of those who have given everything to free us from the effects of sin. On Easter, we honor the one who has given everything to free us from the substance of sin. Ours dealt with the effects. Jesus Christ dealt with the cause. When he arose on this day, when he called himself out of his own tomb, he also called our countless slain out of their graves with him. Now, unfortunately, on Memorial Day, we cannot proclaim what Jesus declared from the cross in his final hour: it is finished. Year after year, Memorial Day will continue to be a day of honor and appreciation for those who paid the greatest price to protect us from us. And year after year, the demand for the sacrifice will remain. Easter prepares us for the time when this perpetual sacrifice of our children will be ended by the power and the grace of God as offered to us by Jesus Christ on Easter morning. Isaiah 2:4, and he will judge the nations, and he will render decisions to many people, and they, the people, will hammer their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation. And never again will they learn war. One day, Easter will completely overwhelm our need for Memorial Day. This is why Easter grows stronger every year that I live, because its promise grows closer with every passing day. Because of Easter, the passing of time is a glorious thing. Because of Easter, time is now on our side. On Easter, we honor the sacrifice and the resurrection that will one day, and the need for one more Memorial Day. That's how big the substance of Easter is. This is why we celebrate it. Easter overwhelms who we are and what we have done. Easter doesn't fix us. Easter recreates us. Through it, we are born again. Jesus fully accomplished what he came to do. 1 Timothy 1:15 says that Jesus came into this world to save sinners, and that's me. John 17:4, Jesus said, I have glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work which you gave me to do. I have saved them. They are safe. I proclaim it now, and I will prove it on Easter morning. John 19:30, therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. Finished. He bowed his head and gave up his spirit. It is finished. You see, the battle did not end on Calvary. The war ended on Calvary. And what is finished need not ever be done again. Easter is final. It concludes the requirement for one of us to die to save another from ourselves. Romans 6:9 through 10 says, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is to never die again, death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. Conclusive. But the life that he lives to God. When he arose, Jesus Christ delivered us from ourselves. Not the Egyptians, not the devil, not the Romans, not the Germans, not the commies, not the Muslims, or the ones who it will be 10 years from now. In John 8:34, Jesus says that everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. Everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. And in Romans 3:23, Paul proclaims, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Put them together. All of us are slaves to our own sin. And Jesus Christ came to shed his blood on the doorpost of our hearts to set each of us free from our sin. Easter is personal. In Romans 7:24, Paul asks a question, O wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? Who can help me? One verse later, he answers his own question. He says, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So what we ended up with here today is a celebration of our own deliverance from our sin through the death of Jesus Christ and the deliverance from our death through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the substance of Easter. You see, brothers and sisters, we owed a debt of righteousness that kept us in bondage, one we could never hope to pay. Be holy as I am holy. On Palm Sunday, the check to pay our debt arrived. On Good Friday, the check was cashed, and on Easter morning, the check cleared. We know it cleared because Jesus Christ arose from the dead. On Easter, we don't celebrate anything that we did. All we did was make Easter necessary. We celebrate, we memorialize the sacrifice that was made for us on the cross and the victory that was handed to us through the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15:14 through 19. And if Christ had not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. Your faith also is in vain. Moreover, we were found to be false witnesses of God because we testified against God that he raised Christ from the dead, who he did not raise, if in fact the dead are not raised. So if we're telling you this and it didn't happen, we're angering God. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You're still in your sin. And those who have fallen asleep in Christ have simply perished. If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are all, of all men, most to be pitied. Every verse of Scripture we read, every prayer we offer, every hymn we sing, every baptism, and every communion mean nothing without Easter. Jesus called himself out of that grave, self-resurrecting, because we cannot leave ours without him. You see, Easter and all of this is about you. It has always been about you from the beginning of time. You are so valuable that Christ came, died, and then arose for you. This world may not revolve around you, but it does revolve for you. You are what Jesus wanted when he gave himself on the cross. And on Easter morning, God gave him what he wanted, what he paid so dearly to get. You. Scripture says, "Behold, what manner of love is this? That you should be called a son of God." Easter is about you and what God did for you, simply because he loves you. This day, we celebrate, we memorialize the substance of God's love for each of us, because everything else is just shadows. Amen.